I'm Matt McClain. He's Patrick DeHaan, and this is episode, what, number two?
Number two.
Production. But like episode a whole bunch when you count all the stuff with Spotify. And speaking of, make sure that you like or subscribe to the channel that is your favorite, Spotify, YouTube, whatever the case may be. If you don't like looking at us, well, you can just listen to us. It's okay as well. You can go to Spotify or your favorite iPod streaming apparatus, if you will.
We're on iPod. Come on. What about those Android fans?
Android is fine too.
That's right. You
know, Google did away with their podcast app a few months ago, and they kind of revamped things and pushed it into YouTube and like YouTube Music and some other aspects on that, because you're probably the iPhone guy. I am most definitely the Android guy.
Way to make some assumptions there.
I'm just assuming that's what you are, because
I thought this podcast was going to be about oil and gasoline prices, not Android versus iPhone, but here we go.
Well, be honest and transparent. Are you an iPhone guy or an Android guy?
Well, I have a device. We'll just say that.
Oh.
Do you think I've always been one or the other? Because I've had both.
I have had an iPhone for exactly 4 months in my life, and that was back in April through June or July of 2012. That's it. And I wasn't fond of it, I'll be honest with you.
Now, those were back in the days of like Singular, right? And when it was tied to Singular or whatnot, maybe?
Yeah, I believe so.
Maybe that was, Verizon. I think that's, by the way, I did have a HTC Evo back in those days. That's like 14, 15 years ago.
You're gonna probably laugh at me for this, but I also at that time had a Windows-based cell phone.
Yeah, I'm going to laugh at you for that. By the way, unknown fact, by the way, is we're going to tie this to GasBuddy, that GasBuddy had a Windows app back in those days. There wasn't a whole lot of folks on it, but let's segue this into GasBuddy is that, yeah, we used to have a Windows app. I think we even had a BlackBerry app for a short period of time.
I used the GasBuddy app on my Nokia Lumia Windows phone. Love that thing. It was a very smooth operating system. And you're right. I kept
like a payphone Nokia? What is that?
That's what I had. It's what I had. And I kept that until Windows was like, seriously, you got to let it go, man. We stopped.
So 9 months?
Yeah, no, it was a little bit longer than that. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, the fun part is no matter which phone device you've got GasBuddy's app that you can download. And, of course, if you go to GasBuddy.com, you can also click on the podcast spot. And here we are as well. It's amazing. They're putting us everywhere. It's very entertaining to me.
Yeah.
Hey, look. Speaking of.
Aren't we excited here? Yeah. As we sit here now you can see exactly what's happening while we are on the call here this morning, or the podcast, I should say. Oil prices, they're still under $80 a barrel, but they are sneaking up a bit, Matt. This is actually the second day in a row that oil prices have bounced off recent lows. We were at $76 a barrel just a couple of days ago, but there's been this kind of mini rally in the price of oil, up 1%. Look at natty gas, by the way. That's not something we cover, but it's up 3% back at $2.50. And here down you have your RBOB. That's gasoline, by the way. I always love, you know, some folks kind of get these confused, right? Nat gas, which is natural gas, and RBOB gas, which is actually gasolina. Gasoline up about 3 cents. And by the way, the units here, for anyone that like looks at these pages, right? Gasoline is always quoted in dollars per gallon. So we're up 3 cents a gallon. And crude oil price is up 88 cents a barrel. So we're still under 80. RBOB's still there. But, we're not doing too bad on the price you're paying at the pump. We're down to 359, Matt.
Yeah, all of that makes me very happy when prices fall. As you know, I'm very well known for saying, please let us have 99 cent a gallon gas, because I would be overjoyed with that. I'm also realistic and probably know that I am in denial, but I'm just going to live that way.
Well, hey, you know, you're in one of these green states. I mean, at least you're not doing too bad. Look at me. I'm beet red over here, you know, in Illinois. And even if we break down to Illinois, I'm even more red here in We like to call it Crook County, because, you know, Chicago is not known for corruption or anything. But yeah, $4.08 a gallon. My local station is actually $4.19 just down the street. But I'll tell you what, the other day I was more in your neck of the woods down here. Yeah, look at that. $3.62 a gallon. The Illinois state average. Yeah.
Scroll back down for just a moment. Why are the prices toward the Kentucky border basically just as hot on this heat map as Cook County and the Chicagoland metro area?
Good question. So look at the statewide average at 3888, right? When I go to Williamson down here, let's see if I can scroll. If I go from Williamson, that means we don't have enough data yet in the day. You'll see that Pope County, they're all 3888. That means that we don't have enough data from that specific county to give you an average just yet. So that may not be the case, but keep in mind, our data at the turn of midnight, right? Because it's a new day, we start collecting data over, and that's why we may not have enough data yet available in this county if people aren't reporting those prices. We generally have a threshold of minimum amount of stations that are reported to us before we can accurately come up and compute an average. So that's why. But so this may not actually be beat red, you know, if you want to look at it a little differently. By the way, we have a lot of different heat maps for those folks that like these, you know, types of things. I was going to quickly take a look at this heat map here, Matt, and you'll see.
Let me bow that back out. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. So we're back down in Southern Illinois here. And now, see, now this is a little bit different. You'll see that the colors are not quite as dark purple.
Gotcha.
Yeah, look at that. You can easily tell where the state of Illinois is. Look down here in Paducah, you cross the state line and there you go, right? 379. And this is why folks have to use the Gas Buddy app, because 379 is not as good as down
319.
318. Yeah, look at that pilot. And that's why you'll see a lot more stations clustered over here, right? Is because, well, Metropolis. But yeah, so I saw you were going to pull up
scene on that map.
is it? Oh, if I squint, yeah, there it. Oh, the Sams.
Yeah, and then I see one on the south side, south of Paducah. There, I think it's also 317, 314.
There's 314. Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, not too bad. But you know, you had a slide pulled up there. Let's see what you had there. I think you had something about inflation.
I did, which was actually going to be literally a playoff of everything that you were discussing. I'm curious because, you know, in the news media, of which I am, I guess we'll call myself a recovering journalist, if you will, we have a lot of sometimes differing views is the best way that I know how to put it when it comes to different aspects of sometimes from the same press conference. So let's take a look at this. Here's a headline from Fox. Fed's Powell says confidence that inflation will slow is not as high as before. From that same exact thing, off CNN, Fed's Powell is unfazed by the latest hot inflation reading. Let me ask you this, Patrick. Since we have such a tie to inflation and inflationary numbers for crude oil, in your view, as an oil analyst and a petroleum analyst, which headline is, do you feel, a little bit more accurate in what Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chairman, is talking about there?
Yeah, I think both of these, right? There's a skew on both of these, how these read out. My read is probably going to be in the middle. Obviously, inflation has been a little bit tough to tame. I think what the Fed chairman is saying is, yeah, we may have to keep these inflation rates higher. And I think he's thrown cold water on this before, but there was still a potential, a small potential that the Fed may have not been yet done raising interest rates, right? They could go up another quarter point, or I think what they say, 25 basis points, right? So that's something to keep an eye on, but obviously inflation remains a little stubborn, but it's in certain areas. If I read some of those stories correctly, food inflation has basically stopped. But as you look here on this Gas Buddy slide, you'll notice that there still is a little bit of inflation on the price of energy, at least the price of gasoline, which is up slightly from a year ago. I think the Fed did call that out. But keep in mind, the core, the consumer price index, the core values, energy is excluded because of its fairly volatile. So, you know, Matt, the interesting thing here is that while most of us are down and the national average is up compared to a year ago, if you jump on, by the way, this is prices.gasbuddy.com. So if anyone wants to jump on this portal, prices.gasbuddy.com, if you look at some of the biggest changes, though, talking about inflation compared to a year ago, look at some of these huge differences compared to last year and from neighboring states. Arizona, down 71 cents a gallon from exactly a year ago. California, on the flip side, up 48 cents a gallon from last year. Now, I see you have a question there.
Yeah, didn't you tell me that a lot of Arizona is getting its fuel from refineries in California at one point in time during one of our podcasts?
Yeah, they are. Well, the interesting thing here, Matt, is there is a reason for that. There could be a caveat that you put here. There was an Arizona-specific problem last year. If I click Arizona, let's get a chart of Arizona to kind of paint the picture here of what happened, if I could spell it correctly. And almost exactly a year ago, if I go back a little further, you'll see that Arizona was coming off a high. I'm going to show you the 2 year because we were coming down from the high. But let's see here. Look at last year, right around April. This was a year ago, right? 2023. Arizona was in full on panic mode. Prices were what? $3.41. And then they hit $4.72. A lot of the increase last year. And you probably could find an article on this while I'm showing this to you, is that Arizona had a lot of issues last year with refinery maintenance that was happening on both sides of the spectrum, right? If we go back to this map and load up Arizona, let me get the heat map up here. So Arizona right here has a unique distinction of being cut in half in terms of where it's being supplied from. The eastern half of Arizona, Tucson, gets its gasoline from refineries up here in the Texas Panhandle, which flows through New Mexico into eastern Arizona. The western half of Arizona, specifically like Phoenix and whatnot, is supplied by refineries in California. Well, what happens? So Arizona has the distinction of being at two sides of the end of the pipeline, right? The end of the pipeline that comes from Texas and the end of the pipeline that comes from California. And they're basically getting squeezed. Not only, Matt, does Arizona have a huge population boom happening, but both sides of the pipeline that feeds Arizona was experiencing a huge amount of maintenance. The two refineries that supply eastern Arizona were both down for maintenance in Texas. And then California was having its own issues, exacerbated by the fact that there's been, I think Arizona, by the way, one of the Maricopa County, I think was the county with the biggest population boom in the last year. And so basically, Matt, Arizona was getting refinery maintenance on both sides. A population boom meant that there's probably tens of thousands more vehicles filling their tanks, and they don't have a pipeline that can bring enough product in. So it was like kind of the super storm, a confluence of factors. So Arizona went way above everyone else. I mean, Phoenix was like $5 a gallon a year ago. If we look at Phoenix here, and so that's, you know, a lot of what they had was pipeline issues. Yeah. Look at Phoenix there. They briefly hit $5 a gallon. And if we'll lay this over with California to see if California, look at that. Phoenix was more expensive than the California state average. And again, look at this here. This tells the story. Arizona surged above California, and that's why Arizona is now seeing a huge price deficit to a year ago, because we're comparing it to when they were climbing this mountain. So Arizona, by the way, if you want to know something really fascinating, is this is going to be a problem moving forward, is that they simply do not have enough pipeline capacity. They don't have enough refineries that feed into them. So if you look up, let's look at this. This is the, let's see here. If we look up a news story, pipeline expansion, Kinder Morgan has actually been looking at expanding its pipeline. So I don't know if I'll be able to pull this up here quickly enough, but so essentially the gasoline pipeline that brings gasoline into the market there from Kinder Morgan, they've been talking about expanding it. So that's why Arizona is so much cheaper than a year ago, because there were a lot of issues happening to push it above $5 a gallon. California did not have those same issues, but California is seeing a lot of maintenance happening right now. So, but all right. I think so most of the rest of the nation's down.
One of the things that I always try basically bring up to you at least every handful of podcasts or so are the geopolitics. And unfortunately, over the past couple of years, we've had plenty of stuff in geopolitics when it comes to different skirmishes across the globe and whatnot that could potentially impact crude oil prices. We talk about OPEC, obviously, sometimes because, you know, they're the What is the name that you call them? Do you call them, you have a specific name for OPEC, am I right? Like the OPEC cartel or something? Or what have I heard you say on the air before? I don't want to.
I don't know what I've said. You know, I mean, that it is, you know, spelled out the acronym, right? Oil producing and exporting countries, but OPEC plus simply the OPEC countries plus the addition of Russia, which is now kind of like super OPEC, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, they still control a third of the world's oil production. So I know a lot of folks are like, well, why, you know, if we're energy independent, why, if the U.S. is producing more oil, why aren't we able to outmuscle OPEC? Because we're one country and OPEC is, you know, over a dozen. So
a dozen with a very deep well of oil underneath their feet as well. So that's one geopolitical area. And they kind of probably all have a few ties behind the scenes as well. You know, Russia talks to folks in OPEC and vice versa and whatnot. But here's one that we have been monitoring for the past couple of years, obviously. And there's been a lot of movement. This is on NBC's website. Putin and Xi, president of China there, vowed to deepen, quote unquote, no limits partnership as Russia advances in Ukraine. There have also been an awful lot of stories regarding the fact that there's now apparently a 500,000 Russian troops along the edge of this particular war, skirmish, invasion, occupation, whatever you wish to call it. There are many different ways to view it and look at it. They're in Ukraine. You also have NATO countries in Europe even talking about conscription at the age of 18. And multiple leaders of different countries within NATO talking about the possibility of a World War III, and they are not saying it under their breath anymore. They are actually verbalizing it in front of microphones and journalists. So the key that I have for you is, obviously, we're monitoring it. We're monitoring it for crude oil prices, because something like that, I would think, would have some sort of an impact on crude oil. Understandably, it would have a larger impact on a lot of different things, but crude oil being one of them. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, this thing just goes back and forth and has for the past couple of years. What are your thoughts on all of this, on where, and no one's going to hold you to it, because who can see that crystal ball even 24 hours from now versus 6 months? But if things start going in a bad way for NATO and Ukraine, what could that cause in the crude oil price market? What could that do?
Well, I mean, obviously Russia is a major oil producer. You know, just here in the last month, the oil exports from Russia have now hit a 5-month low in April. Keep in mind, Ukraine has been going after Russia's refineries. For those that haven't been keeping track, these drones have gone deep into Russian territory, and they've been attacking Russian refineries. And you'll remember several months ago, as a result, Russia actually had to halt exports of things like gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel, sometimes more gasoline, because their domestic market now is short on gasoline because Ukraine's ability to knock out those refineries, and they continue to do so. And you'll remember that the Biden administration has asked Ukraine not to do that because there could be a potential impact to gasoline prices. If you're knocking out refineries, Matt, wherever they are, if they're in, you know, Russia or some other area of the world, there's only a finite amount of gasoline coming out of refineries. And the only reason there's gasoline being produced is because of refineries. So if you're knocking out refineries, that would probably have a negative impact on the price of gasoline. Now, it hasn't had so much of an impact because there are so many sanctions on Russia. But this is something to keep an eye on. I mean, obviously, Russia's war in Ukraine. I mean, oil prices have cooled off significantly in the last 2 years. China and India, to your point, you know, about the cooperation between China and Russia, China's buying a lot more of Russian oil, but they really own that relationship. And so, you know, the Russians are kind of up against a wall selling oil to China at a deep discount. And so, you know, Russia really is feeling a lot of heat from that, because they're having to sell oil only to a few customers instead of to a global audience, right? Because Europe is spurning their oil, the US is, and so now Russia is basically selling discounted oil to China, who's really taking advantage of the situation by filling up their strategic reserve and whatnot. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on, especially if Ukraine continues to attack Russian refineries. If they're successful, Russia has downplayed it. They've said that they're getting refineries back online, but it's something to keep an eye on. But Matt, on the other side of that, why that's not been more impactful to gas prices here is that gasoline demand has been relatively weak so far this year. The IEA yesterday actually just revised its global demand forecast down. So
that doesn't happen very often.
Well, you know, the IEA revises forecasts, you know, fairly often. But I will quickly throw this on the screen for those of you who are watching what is going on with this. Let's see if I can get that pulled up here. Essentially, you know, the IEA revised, lowered its forecasts right here. This is the paragraph. The IEA has lowered its oil growth forecast by 140,000 barrels a day, citing weak consumption in developed economies, aka the U.S. And to tie this all back with a bow to your earlier point about the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, this is why there's weaker growth, is because the Fed is going to likely have to hold interest rates higher for a longer period of time, which prevents Americans from going out and taking on debt to buy new things. So keep in mind, and this is a big part of, you know, what can drive the oil market, is when you have a big entity like the IEA, not to be confused, by the way, Matt, with the US EIA, right? IEA, International Energy Association, versus the Energy Information Administration. I'm just trying to keep that straight. So when they revise these forecasts down, it can certainly drive markets. But yeah, with a weaker than expected economy, partially because interest rates are going to have to remain elevated, that's part of the reason why we had forecast that gasoline prices would not be as high this year. So by the way, I put out a chart yesterday highlighting the yearly look here. The red line, Matt, is what we had forecast back in December for average gasoline prices. And I know the axis is pretty big. I should probably zoom in here so that you can get a closer look. But by and large, these constraints on the top and bottom are the range that we expected. Gas prices, you know, fairly close to normal. In fact, look at that green line, Matt. It's ever so slightly lower than we expected, at least so far in May, but we're only halfway through the month.
If there's ever a moment where I want you to be wrong, it's that you've predicted prices are higher than they actually are. No offense, but I mean, you know, I just throw it.
Well, you know, I'd like to be wrong too. I'd like to, you know, have that be down here, right? I think everyone would like if the average price was $2. Now, I would draw one point out here, Matt, is that most Americans are expecting gas prices to peak in June and July, like, right, you know? But what do we have here? We have prices actually modestly declining, which is what's happening. And I want to highlight this again, because so many folks come to me and say, well, you know, gas prices, they're going to keep going up ahead of Memorial Day, with Memorial Day only a couple of weeks away. No, usually prices peak somewhere here. Why? Because there's three main factors that cause this run up every spring, starting in usually January, February. Those three things are, well, the weather's getting warmer, February, March, April. We start to get outside more and more, right? We've covered this a lot. Refinery maintenance starts happening in February. It usually wraps up by April or May. And then the transition to summer gasoline is usually done by April or May. So, you know, all those factors usually lead to gas prices that peak not in summer, but in spring. And usually by summer, Matt, refineries are ramping up output. In fact, that's exactly what we saw here in the last week with the EIA. You know, if you want to really get into the weeds, this is the report that we look at that really can have a big impact on market prices. This report, which comes out weekly, highlighted exactly that. Refineries are wrapping up maintenance here. If this thing would load here, this is the important part of this right here. Refineries operated at 90.4% of their operable capacity. Gasoline production increased. That is why prices are starting to moderate, because refineries, this was the highest number, 90.4. It has not been north of 90% for several months. So wow. Refineries are finishing maintenance, and that's why prices are coming down. And that's why prices peak not in the summer when refineries are cranking up output, but why prices peak in the spring. And you know, going back to this graphic here again, That's why prices should decline here through July. What do we have here, Matt? I know you being a Florida resident, you probably know why this gap, these constraints widen for the month of August.
Because you know, obviously that's more toward the height of hurricane season, and the Gulf of Mexico has so much
winter chicken dinner. So,
right.
You know, if you're planning a road trip for August, Matt, you may want to set aside a little bit more money. And you know, we do see a potential rise in prices. Now, keep in mind, last year, it wasn't hurricane season that pushed prices up late in the year. There was a bunch of refinery issues that happened in the plains and in the West Coast, because refineries can go down unexpectedly. And when that happens so close to the end of summer, here's, by the way, the date when they switch back to cheaper winter gasoline is September 15th. So usually in August, Matt, refineries are looking at their stockpiles saying, okay, we can stop producing summer gasoline because we have enough summer gasoline to last through September 15th. That's the magic date. But if a refinery goes down and suddenly they're not producing as much gasoline, or if demand is higher than expected, they may all of a sudden have to fire up that summer blend again for another couple of weeks. That's what happened last year, is there was a sudden squeeze. There wasn't enough summer gasoline to get them through the end of the summer. So, and then there were some refinery outages that happened. But this year, hopefully won't be refinery outages, but it could be hurricane season.
Yeah, and we've only got a couple of minutes left here in our particular in this particular episode, but I do want to ask you one thing. Is there a connection between oil prices, sure, and take, for example, this headline right here, fresh, hot off the screen, so to speak, our friends at CNBC, Dow has risen to 40,000 for the first time ever, and it's happening as of the time of the recording of this particular podcast. Is there any kind of a disparity there, or are they really connected? Will crude oil prices follow?
Well, and I haven't checked this in a couple of years. So I haven't checked this relationship since COVID, full disclosure, COVID. There's been a lot of imbalances, COVID, Russia's war in Ukraine, that could cause a bit of a disconnect. But previously, I think I did the study back in 2018 or even 2017. The bottom line was this at the time, that when the Dow and Dow Jones Industrial Averages moves up or down by more than 100 points, oil prices moved in a similar direction 95% of the time. So there is a correlation there, that when the Dow Jones goes up a significant amount, oil prices generally go up in the same degree. And when the Dow plummets over 100 points, oil prices typically are alongside that as well. It's when you look at the moves of less than 100 points that there's a lot more, you know, there's not a lot of as much of a strong relationship. But yeah, when the Dow goes up, and generally, Matt, what is the Dow? Can you pull up the Dow index here as we stand? It 40,000, but is it up or down, and how many points today?
Let me pull that information up here.
Because while you're looking for that, I was going to quickly say, because yeah, look at oil. Oil is up almost 1%. And if you have the Dow there, let's lay that up. So oil price,
117 points right now.
Yeah. So the Dow is up triple digits, which is what percent, Matt? Can you give us that front and center, that graphic?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
There we go. So the Dow is up triple digits, 116 points, and oil prices are also up, you know, following in the same direction. So yeah, there is a correlation there. Like I said, it's not foolproof, but when the Dow goes up or down a significant amount, you can generally see oil prices track. And why? Well, what's good news for the Dow Jones is generally news that would push oil prices up, right? If the economy is doing well, if the stock market's going up, earnings are going up, that's going to mean more people spending, more companies are doing more spending, growth, right? The Dow is a signal of growth, profit. And when the Dow goes up, it generally means the economy's in a good shape. And that's why oil prices track along.
Final 60 seconds of the podcast for the next several days. What are we doing with gas prices? Up, down, sideways?
Well, it's sideways. You know, I'm going to say, Matt, that pulling up this data here, you know, we've been trending a little bit lower. Look at these three indicators. We could eventually get under this last indicator of year ago prices. It's going to take an 8-cent drop. But I think for now, Matt, most of these states are going to continue to see prices moving down. And if we look here, compare it to a week ago, look at how much green there's going to be. There's a couple states where prices did cycle. Colorado, New Mexico are areas where prices cycle, but look at all of these downward movements here. Is it really just those two states? Oh, Wisconsin is up. So there's a handful of states that have gone up, Matt, but look at most of these states are seeing a decrease in price. This chart here is going to look very similar next week. So we'll continue to see prices inching down ahead of Memorial Day, and that's great news.
All right, that's going to wrap up Over a Barrel right here. I'm Matt McLean, he's Patrick DeHaan, and we will talk again coming up next week.